AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 4 of the Nerd Badge Podcast.
Woo!
Yeah! I am your host, Michael Quinn, as always. I'm joined by, I dub thee my new official first ever, new first official co-host. We will be at the big event next Saturday in New Jersey. I'm going to put that up, like, right. Hold on, I'm going to try and do this because I do some editing stuff here, so I'm going to be like, here, This is where the big event's going to be. So that's going to be a big thing. My good friend, RJ.
Hello.
Hello.
Episode 4, I can't wait. This is going to be super exciting. Yeah. I can't wait.
And to his right, standing at 5 foot something.
1 3/4.
I love that.
Ladies and gentlemen, she just got signed to a talent agency.
Woo!
She is now on IMDb. There you go. It's freaking letters. Ladies and gentlemen, my good friend, confidant, head woman in charge of this whole entire show, Susie Sizer.
Woo! Woo! I'm so happy to be here.
Yay! So first, as I like to do, because, I mean, it's just been like, I mean, you can't talk... You cannot not talk about wrestling.
True.
The past like couple of weeks, as everything's just been on fire. I try not to make this exclusively. Oh, before I forgot to show you guys something. Watch this. Da 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 da. We got merch.
We got merch.
So if you're interested in your own happy little nerd badge, which is the whole reason why I got these things, but in order to get it, there's a trick.
Okay, what's the trick?
You have to come here. And on that note, look at these two faces. They're like, what's going on?
I'm like, uh-oh.
Ready?
Do we have actual badges?
Oh, my God! So this is only giveaways if you are
I'm excited.
On the show.
Awesome.
So
thank you.
Look at that. Show it up to the cameras, kids. Take that home. There we go. The only way to get an official nerd badge, and they were delayed by like so many months, is to be on the show. So it's a prize. It's something you get to wear. I am not selling them. It's a badge of honor.
It is. And we shall honor the badge.
A nerd badge of honor. That's the whole reason why I started this podcast. So I can actually give out badges. I think it's a great premise. Now, two words. Will Ospreay.
That was a great match.
Oh, my God. That match is absolutely magical. And the thing was, it was such a great showcase because it was him going out there with a beautiful opponent, and I can never say his name right, and I'm not even going
to
try.
We were trying to talk about it before.
Yeah, we tried. I was like, I'm horrible at it. And, oh, man, it's watching Will Ospreay go out and perform his art is a thing of beauty because it was a beautiful platform to see. Because a lot of people never saw Will Ospreay wrestle ever, you know?
No one watches New Japan. Well, not a lot of people watch New Japan.
People watch New Japan, don't get me wrong, but New Japan is a great promotion. Also, there's so many great things about Japan that brings out wrestling to people. Their strong style is immaculate, it's beautiful, it's creative. But man, watching Will Ospreay go off was just freaking, it was like, ladies and gentlemen, the future. Like, it was just like, here you go, kids. Here's your brand new Red Ryder BB gun, you know?
Right. Well, he's basically taking the place of Kenny Omega since Kenny Omega can't wrestle for the time being.
Exactly. And Kenny Omega, also another amazing talent. Will Ospreay, I got to hang out with Will Ospreay a couple times, so he's a great dude. I met him on the Jericho Cruise number 2. Me and my wife, we had a great time. He was always a gentleman and a scholar and a true professional. And he was just the life of that boat. I've said it, I think, before on the show where Will has been like absolutely like the party man. Like, I feel like Chris Jericho was like, you're going out there and you're going to entertain all these people. And Will Ospreay was just, say no more, dude. Because that's my Will Ospreay impression. Hey, dude, I'm Will Ospreay. But no, Will Ospreay is like just a charismatic gem to the world of professional wrestling, and it's awesome seeing him get that moment, you know?
Agreed.
AEW put on a great, great pay-per-view, Revolution. It was awesome.
And Sting's final match.
I mean, we'll get to that in a little bit, but man, there was some sick matches on that card. Mm-hmm. I guess you would call it the dark match pre-show, whatever you want to call it.
Was that was that six man, right?
Yeah, it was six man. It was like 12
yeah,
man. Dude.
It was a lot
crazy.
Of people. Awesome. Yeah.
Everyone was in that thing. It was a beautiful match. What else was great about that? There was
Timeless Tony Storm versus
Perrazzo. And everyone popped when what's her name came out dressed as
the
Tony.
Old school Tony Storm.
I was like, ooh.
Was it Maria Hills?
I forget her name.
Oh God, it's a repeat of episode 3 now.
It starts. It's like
Where nobody it's viral. Knows your name.
It's like viral amnesia. It's like all of a sudden we forget one person's name, and then it's just going to trickle down because I don't have the confidence right now to sit there and be like, well, I remember that person's name.
Let's not help. Let's hope that doesn't happen. Yeah, we got this, guys.
Tony Storm and Perrazzo put on a great match. Who else? Orange Cassidy always puts on a great match. Great wrestling.
He lost his title, sadly.
Sorry if this is a spoiler.
Sorry. Spoiler alerts.
Oh, well, not our problem. This is your fault.
You had 3 days to watch it.
You had 2 days to watch it. It's beautiful pro wrestling. Roderick Strong is the new, what's it called, champion?
They're Intercontinental.
They're Continental champion.
Yeah. Uh-oh, here we go again.
What is wrong with us? It's infectious. Oh, man, and I was watching that match. It was such a great match. And Roderick Strong just beat the shit out of him.
Well, he has been wrestling like every single week. Yeah, so, you know, after like, a certain amount of time, that's the whole storyline with that title.
It was just, you get your ass kicked. It's a workhorse title. Yeah. So, what else? AEW just, I mean, now we can go into it. Sting's last match. Is Darby Allin still on the ground out there? Like, Darby Allin.
He cannot do this forever.
Oh my God.
Every time he has a pay-per-view, he does some insane stunt.
Bro,
that ladder was like, 20 feet in the air?
He was on the third rung, so he was about maybe 16 feet, maybe 17 feet, I'm going to go with, and then he jumped, and that thing was in the freaking ring, by the way.
Yep.
Oh my God. When he, the scariest thing, I don't know if people saw this, but what happened was that there was a fan. There was a girl in like a pink shirt and a guy next to her. They got sprayed
with the glass.
With glass.
Oh my God.
Geez. Oh my God. I'm going to put it up right here. And now, if you notice, like the glass is just completely. Yeah. I'm not going to air it because I just realized I'm going to get sued for that or something. They're going to send Tony.
You have a picture of it. Just like desaturize it or something.
Yeah, I know.
But isn't that like a liability on like the company?
Well, no, because you sign a waiver usually.
Yeah, you're like, this is your ass. Yeah. And,
because when you go to those promotions and shows, they'll sometimes have it on the screen. Like, when you're here, if you get hit by something, that's on you. Because they had some problems in the past. Because, like, MJF was stealing beer from people, throwing beer at people. So.
Pouring water on kids.
Yeah.
That was fun. I'm sorry. Beautiful.
Chef's kiss for a heel.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, I mean, it's just wonderful watching him just going, like, I don't care what any of you think or what you feel. I'm going to do whatever I want. Warlow won the that scramble match. Yes. That was beautiful to watch. He beat the crap out of people.
I didn't get a chance to see that one. Like I said, I wasn't able to watch all the matches because of the crap show.
We'll talk about that later. We got a whole. Ladies and gentlemen, if you thought the parade issue about Staten Island, about like, you know, not letting people of certain beliefs or lifestyles into parades was crazy, we got a story for you that tops that shit. What else is good about pro wrestling right now? I mean, I didn't watch Monday Night Raw last night because I was absolutely exhausted after work. I passed out. What else? Sorry, everyone who's expecting me to talk about Monday Night Raw, all three people that are watching this right now.
All of our fans.
All of our fans. We love
to
you
the
guys.
To the millions and millions.
To the threes.
Threes.
It's like three people here, so I'm going to put that out to you. but no, WWE is getting ready for WrestleMania. I know... Seth and Drew is kicking up.
Oh, did you want to talk about Elimination Chamber? We didn't really talk about that yet.
We did not. So, start.
Okay, fine. The females Elimination Chamber, that was great. I thought they all did a fantastic job. I knew Becky was going to win, which I didn't like that because it felt like that was where it was going. It would have been better if Liv won, I think, because she had a big pop. Tiffany Stratton did a great job. I was like, where did she come from? Because I know she's just
she's a nasty. She is. Ugh, Tiffany Stratton is like one of those people that it's like, you know who she reminds me of 100%? And I'm not saying this to be like, you are the next one or like I have some sort of power to dub anybody. But when I watch somebody and they automatically, they feel like they're not emulating, but like they're in line with that person's flow, like their energy, their ability to perform. She reminds me dead ass of Charlotte Flair.
Really?
Yes. She reminds me of when Charlotte first started, but when she has that like cocky little girl attitude.
R.I.P. Ric Flair.
Yeah, he's still alive.
He's still alive.
I'm sorry, I take that back.
What the
Welcome
hell?
To life, Ric
well,
Flair.
He did die with that super kick. That's what you're talking about. Oh, when
he passed away.
No. They were making fun because there's some memes running out there about Ric Flair about like getting super kicked in the face during the Sting match. Yeah. That's why. And he's actually like laying. I'll see if I can put this up right here. Ric Flair being super kicked in the head by the Young Bucks and. Was that them that they said, "Oh, we don't love you, we hate you"? It's like, we're not sorry, remember. We hate you. It was a beautiful match. But anyway, Ric Flair gets kicked in the head and he's laying underneath the turnbuckle like a corpse, and he's just.
He was just taking his midday snooze.
he was out cold, and it was beautiful. Just watching him, just going, "Wow, I think they just killed Ric Flair."
Because what is he now? 77?
Yeah, he's like 74, 72, somewhere up there. He's up there.
Yeah.
Oh,
and he's still doing this, even after he retired and retired and retired.
And retired.
Yeah. So,
for the record, I'm glad you're still alive, Ric Flair.
Yes. Please just don't get into the ring with people that, you know, don't do Sting where you're like jumping off things. Please, you won't make it.
That was scary. Some of the moves that Sting did that match, I was like, oh, man.
These guys don't kill Sting.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, there was a couple of scary things during it. Like, Wall Spray hitting the rope. Yeah. His back got screwed up. I thought he had some sort of, like, kidney injury or something like that. Because he was flipping out when he hit the rope that way. And it was just, it scraped him. I was like, okay, it's just, hopefully that's it, you know. But he hit that thing hard. Who else took something wrong? There was another part where, we're not going to talk about the obvious thing of somebody who, we'll get to that last. But someone else took something that was kind of scary. I forgot who it was. But I'll figure it out later. But anyway, Darby Allin.
Yep.
Hey, Darby, we want you to set up this thing of glass, 6 chairs, and this ladder, and you're just going to jump. Darby Allin's just like, cool.
But we have to go back to elimination here. We talked about AEW before, and then we went into sidetrack because of Charlotte Flair. But, yeah, I thought Becky Lynch, you know, safe bet, safe choice to go up against Rhea Ripley. Tag team match, I thought it was a regular match. Mm-hmm. Wasn't anything really that exciting to speak of, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, Judgment Day 1, that's going to be the play. Men's Elimination Chamber, I actually called McIntyre.
Yeah, I feel like McIntyre was their Becky Lynch, like their safe bet.
Yeah,
like he's been
agreed.
He's been bouncing around all over the place with, like,
he's been killing against the CM Punk stuff as well.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if you watch the TikToks and such. What did CM Punk pop?
His tricep.
His tricep. And he was like, I always do tricep day.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe CM Punk should learn to do tricep day. And I was like, wow, he's really going for it all
now. He said, like, oh, I hurt my eardrum. You think I'm going to miss WrestleMania? What do you think I am? CM Punk? I was like, this guy is the meme lord, by the way. Like,
then he put the shirt. He did the pipe bomb.
He did the pipe bomb sit down? Yes. Yep. Yeah. He had the shirt with the, with the flash behind the scenes. Of him pointing into the graves and CM Punk's WrestleMania thing.
Yep.
I was like, that's a beautiful way of keeping that alive when Punk comes back.
Exactly.
That's going to be SummerSlam. That's going to be SummerSlam. And I think Punk is going to fight him for the title at SummerSlam because I really don't think Seth is walking out of there.
Yeah, I'm not sure, honestly. I could see it go either way, honestly, there.
But like I said, I mean, I made my prediction. I got to stick by it. Yeah. I think Seth, I was right about the tag team match.
Yes.
And here's the thing. I pointed this out last time, and I put it up on our Facebook. The tag team matches, it's going to be, they're really basically leading towards night one, which I'm not a fan of, is going to be Roman Reigns and The Rock versus Cody and Seth. Now, my thing is this. People are saying that match makes no sense. Why have a WrestleMania event with a tag team? I'm like, think about a tag team main event for WrestleMania where you had a celebrity on one side with a wrestler, and then you had two people on the other side who are super over in the company. What does that sound like? What main event of WrestleMania does that sound like? First goddamn one, okay? It was Hogan and Mr. T versus Orndorff and Piper. Ha!
That's a good point.
Yeah. Does anybody else see this happening, or is it just me? Like, I'm... people look at, oh, this makes no sense. Why would they do this? I'm like, it's night two. Who cares? Like,
it's not night two, I meant to say. This is what we do here. It's entertainment for the people.
Exactly.
And what would they love to see? I think that'd be a great match. But is it the one that everyone else wants to see?
Yep.
A lot of the bigger fans, the diehards? Probably not.
It should be, and I'm a purist in this, world title, main event. That's right there. Now, to me personally, it should be Seth and McIntyre night one. Mm-hmm. To main event. That's it. Rock saying he's going to main event. Man, I understand the money game. You have to have somebody come in and make the money. My question is this. If you're giving away the whole entire thing for free, where's the money coming from? You get the subscriptions. I get it. But this isn't, we're trying to get pay-per-view buys all this time. It's on the app. Okay,
just that's where Peacock.
It's on Peacock. You have to get people to sign up to Peacock. I get that, but at the same time, it's so many people already have it. So where's the buy? You're going for ratings. You want people to watch. What would be more entertaining? You would. I think to me, you build up Seth and McIntyre to the level of the main event because they are the championship bout. That should be night one. But then you don't have The Rock in Roman versus Seth and Cody. That's just me. And I'm purist in this stuff, you know? Like, I believe that world title, main event. And every WrestleMania forward, the new title, the new heavyweight title should be defended night one. And then friggin' the Universal title, night two, if they don't mix them up.
And that's how I feel, too. I feel night one should be simply just Seth versus McIntyre. Night two, Cody versus Romans. And that's it. Call it a day.
Yep. And that's it. And if you want to do a tag team match, sure, no problem. But, I mean, maybe some sort of partner of another choosing or something like that. You know, I don't know. But not the world champions on either side is kind of like, well, the heavyweight championship, I'm sorry, it is the number two heavyweight. It's the number two main title in the company. No one's going to touch Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns being the top guy. Roman Reigns has been champion for like three WrestleManias. Well, he made
that promo where he's like, I work 20 times less than you and still make 20 times more than you. You make a promo like that, you're already basically saying your title is better.
Exactly. Right, and that's it. Exactly. I'm the guy. I'm the one of the two. I'm number one of the two. And that's it, period. So, I mean, sorry, now we're going to talk about it because I really want to talk about it. Did anybody really check to see if Darby Allin's alive right now? Like, oh my God. I watched that. I was watching my good friends, Jen, Danny, and Janine, and we were just like, oh my God, that kid's dead. He's just started bleeding. And it wasn't
I think it was more like he hit that glass and it was just like little pricks. Yeah. And like, then as the match kept going, it just kept being more blood and more blood. And you're like, is he going to survive this?
I saw white on his upper left shoulder and I saw a gash on his lower
rib. That's like cartilage, right?
Yeah, that's not even cartilage. I mean, that's like just like deep layer stuff. Yeah. So I wonder if he hit, like here's the glass and like he just went, like it broke and it fractured and cut him, or a piece got stuck on the chair and just serrated him like that. But
But at the same time, here's what I'm going to say. Is it necessary anymore to do these things?
I mean, we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about
it. At the same time,
I think that
is it worth it? Because I know he says he's not going to have a long run.
Yeah.
He's not going to be like the Stinger who wrestled into his 60s, mid-60s,
Yeah, he's 66 now, 65. He is,
mid-60s.
God bless you, Sting, for sticking around. Congratulations on your retirement, please.
Congratulations. Thank you for all that you did.
Yes.
From WCW to WWF, WWE.
And RoboCop, I want you to look at this right now. RoboCop, look at me in the eyes. RoboCop. You should have been there, bro.
Was that Bash of the Beach when they did that?
I don't even remember. It was
a long time ago.
I was a kid when that happened, so people may not know this, right? So there's a pay-per-view, right? And who was in the cage?
Oh, I don't remember.
There was someone in the cage. Oh, my God. And RoboCop comes out and, like, rips open. Oh, Macho Man. Macho Man was in the cage. I believe it was Macho Man. Macho Man's in the cage. Or somebody's that guy. I can't even remember now. So RoboCop comes out to help save Sting. And it's been, like, the past, like, 4 years, I think, the greatest meme in the world. Like, I've seen so many great memes of it, but, man, RoboCop.
Should have been there.
Too good for Sting? All right, whatever. Serve Emperor Tech, whatever.
So now I have to ask.
Yes.
Is Macho Man, is that about Macho Man?
I want to hit you with things. That is the Village People song.
Yeah.
Macho Man, Randy Savage. Randy Poffo was one of the greatest pro wrestlers in the world. God bless. He passed away in Florida about 10 years ago, actually, I think now. It was like almost 10 years ago.
A lot of the wrestlers from the back in the day, they passed away young.
Yeah, which is like the subject I want to go into next is the golden age of pro wrestling. I know we kind of sat here and talked about some new things, and you're just sitting there going like mathematics of like, you know, the Hangover when he's trying to do the blackjack. So we'll talk about some easy stuff right now. The golden age of I'd like to talk about certain ages of wrestling over the next couple of podcasts, and this one is one of my favorite ones, the ages of wrestling, because there's ideally the old age, which is the black and white, the Baron von Reich's, the Killer Kowalski's, and all that other stuff. But I want to talk about right now what came after that, the golden age, where Vince Jr. took over the company and made WWF into a, not, I don't want to say it in the wrong way, but a spectacle, into an attraction. The pro wrestling's really started from like strongman competitions at circuses. So they would have men just really kind of wrestle each other in what it was. So eventually it moved its way outside of the circus, and then it came into the mainstream of the world. And WWF was the first one to really have a network thing happen where it like traveled all over the areas, big stars.
Well, you can always say everything was regional back then.
Yeah, everything was regional.
Was everything was all their territories.
Yeah, there was the territories all over the place, and guys knew you don't mess with another guy's territory. Vince promised his dad that he wouldn't, and then his dad died, and then Vince did the exact opposite. So there was a lot of there's a lot of information about that. It's, if you just Google that, I'm not going to even try and get into it. We don't have enough time for that. But Vince started up by grabbing all the top stars from different companies, and he got Hogan from Vern Gagne.
Oh, I don't remember what's up.
So he got him, and then he was his big, big star. And he traveled with Hogan, and Hogan made pro wrestling into what it is today, and that is 100%. I noticed people out there were certain feelings about him, but Hulk Hogan made pro wrestling into a thing that we know it as today. And with Hogan, he was the attraction. Hulkamania, it was what it was, and it was for kids. It was the golden age of wrestling was for you to see somebody that was larger than life. The big stuff on top of them, the hats, the clothing, the music. Little trivia. Do you know who was the first real wrestling group to ever use music as an entrance?
No, not sure.
Fabulous Freebirds.
Really?
Yes. My P.S. Michael Hayes and his whole entire group. Yep, first ones. So now, with the golden age, it was other things that Hogan needed, because you can't have an Optimus Prime without a Megatron. You can't have a Ninja Turtles without a Splinter. So they created, I feel like, in that era, beautiful villains.
Yeah.
Like
Andre the Giant, too.
Andre the Giant.
Oh, I loved him.
Everyone loved Andre. Andre was never really a bad guy so much. Like, Andre was a big face, whatever not. It was when he turned on Hogan, because when he went with the Heenan family, that's when, like, Andre became, and that's iconically what everyone knows him for, is WrestleMania 3.
Right.
The body slam.
Body slam.
Yeah. So that's a thing where people kind of look at it and go, Hogan was the guy. Hogan was the next thing, and Andre was the attract. Like, they say Hulkamania started really at WrestleMania 3. I still say it started at 1. That's right. For me, but even before then. But Hulkamania became a worldwide thing after he body slammed Andre. And because Andre was never body slammed before that.
Well, how could you? Could you imagine?
Oh, you're, in case you're listening to this, I'm winking ironically because Hogan. Exaggerated wink. So Hogan body slams him, and it just became news. He became the champion. Oh, my God. Killer moment, right? And then you had so many villains that came out of the woodwork. You had guys like
Iron Sheik.
Iron Sheik. You had him. Hogan lost the belt to him, won it back.
But then, I don't know if we should mention this. You think it's more like the race card there because of what was going on?
A little bit. I mean, back then, that's what it was. Right. I mean, it was also a lot of power plays. Guys were like, hey, listen, patting the chest. I'm doing the whole patting the chest thing. Listen, brother, that don't really work for me, but daddy, you know what I'm saying? Daddy needs that belt. He needs the big thing, you know?
True, true.
And there were other guys around the golden age. I always say the golden age, for each age of wrestling, there is a Mount Rushmore, you know? Mm. You cannot put everyone's favorite guy on top of something. Oh, my God, it's 8:30 already.
Oh, wow, we really went through that. Whoa.
Yeah, so crap.
I want to bring up a wrestler when we're ready.
1 second. I got to do my quick commercial break. One of the great sponsors of the show, SWA, over in Long Island. This weekend, baby, Double Trouble. And here is the ad.
Defend both his Pride Heavyweight Champion. SWA Wrestling is back with Double Trouble on Friday, March 8th.
Double trouble for Chris Kane as he defends both his Pride Heavyweight Championship and the Adrenaline Championship in a two falls triple threat match. Tickets are on sale now at SuffolkWrestlingAlliance.com.
So, we're back. So, what were we talking about? You said you wanted to bring up somebody.
Yeah, so yes. I used to love watching wrestling as a kid.
Yes.
And one of my favorite wrestlers in the world, mainly because of his victory dance, and I think we talked about this last week, was Rikishi. And
see, that's a different age. That's an attitude error. Okay. That's an attitude error. I'll allow it. Continue.
I appreciate it. But he is somebody that I will always remember. And I used to be jumping in front of the TV when he would come on. And when he used to win.
He did it for The Rock.
He would stomp both his feet and just shimmy. And he was large. He was large and in charge. And I was obsessed with him.
He was awesome. Rikishi, also known as, who was he? He was also the Sultan. He was.
Oh, I don't remember his name.
Yeah, he was the Sultan for a while underneath the mask. And he did some other stuff, too.
Is he alive?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I'm actually going to. We'll see him because we're going to be at the big event, like I mentioned before. Dink. And we're going to see him. He's going to be at the big event. It's going to be a fun time to see him. But yeah, what's it called? The Golden Age. Like, the Golden Age, I believe, really stopped in like 94, 95, around that era where like Brett came in and, well, he was already running and everything.
And I would say that's when kind of the war started between WCW and WWF.
Yes, absolutely. The war was started when Vince kind of started everything up in that era where he brought in the Hogans, the Macho Mans, the Orndorffs, the Sergeant Slaughters, who else? I can go on days and days and days. What's it called? Coco Beware. I believe I always like those big, big characters. And of course, like I was trying to say before, every wrestling hero needs a wrestling villain. To me, Hogan had some of the best villains in the world. He had, he had Flair and Piper. Whenever Piper was a maniac, Roddy Piper, may he rest in peace, was a deranged individual. He did whatever he wanted. He was evil, you know? And the only guy that could ever really stop him was Hogan.
Yeah.
Because Hogan and him just had fights, you know? Like, he was the ultimate bad guy. Flair, too. Flair was the dirtiest.
And Piper never won the belt, right? Never won the world title.
He won, like, the tag team titles later on with Ric Flair.
Never won the real title.
He was Intercontinental Champion. But Piper was a maniac. And then, I mean, Piper kind of went face. And, like, I think it was WrestleMania 9. They had the him versus Goldust, right?
I think so.
Yeah, so that was the back early brawl where I think he ran him over with the gold Cadillac. So, but that was, I mean, Piper was always, to me, one of Hogan's top bad guys. Yeah. Because he was just the absolute opposite of what Hogan was, you know? And then I said this before and I say it again. Hogan wasn't my cup of tea growing up because I always felt like he was a bad guy because Hogan always did stuff like rake the eyes, rake the back, grab a chair, hit somebody, beat up someone's manager. Like, I'm like, dude, this guy's really kind of a jerk.
My guy's heel tactics.
Exactly, heel tactics. So, yeah, so that's like the Golden Age. You had Macho Man Randy Savage picking up, Ultimate Warrior. Those were the big just dudes, you know what I mean? Just running around doing crazy stuff, you know?
People complain about that nowadays, though, that people like these face people,
yeah,
they just are like little, oh my God, I need the other word.
Yeah.
But little wusses.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't do anything to defend themselves when they could be doing some other tactics like Hogan did.
Yeah, exactly. You have guys who are like Omasas. You have like Will Hobbs. You have Big Bill. Big Bill. You have great guys like that who are just naturally big guys, you know? Like, you have Warlow, you have Brian Cage, you have, who else in WWE is kind of like a big guy?
WWE, Omos.
Yeah, I already said Omos.
You said Omos? Oh,
yeah, Omos, Drew McIntyre. Those are the big guys, you know what I mean? Like, those are the guys where, like, they would look like everybody.
Right.
And back then you had Hacksaw Jim Duggan, who was God, amazing, you know? Like, like the kids would love these people. Like, kids always had these, like, ultimate reactions to these people. And I feel like the Attitude Era, which we'll talk about next time, it was the continuation of that. So, yeah.
I will say Hogan is still very much looked up to by children.
Yes. He is, very much so.
I think that obviously he had that reality show, which brought a lot of controversy to
and
the world.
And the lawsuit. The lawsuit, I think, is what
and
really
a lawsuit and a car crash and a whole bunch of stuff. I did watch the whole entire show. Yeah. But he, I think he is seen as a jerk, but I think he's also seen as a role model.
Yeah, back in the day he was. Yeah, back in the day he was everyone's role model. Everyone wanted to be Hogan. Not me, I wanted to be Macho Man because Macho Man was great.
And he had Miss Elizabeth.
Yeah, Miss Elizabeth, prettiest woman in the game. She could have managed anybody, but she came with me. Yeah.
What I would have done to meet Andre the Giant. Are you kidding me, Princess Bride?
Yeah. So, moving on to our next subject, our next thing, we're going to get off wrestling finally, because I feel like we did. That was a good talk.
That was a good talk.
Totally good talk. What's it called? It's going to be the whole MCU. Now, I talked about a lot about the failures last time of the DCU, and I think that was a good discussion. So I want to talk about the things that are wrong with the my personal beliefs of what the MCU has kind of been doing wrong is that I feel the TV shows were not good enough to be TV shows, if that makes sense. Like, the one thing with Marvel has been, like, there's been a downside of Marvel.
It's content overload.
Not even content overload.
I think it's content overload.
It's D-list content overload. Because you're going off on the stuff that should be in the main stuff, and you're making it main stuff. You see what I mean? Like, you're taking, like, the secondary, thirdary stuff, and you're making it into, what's it called? They're talking about making, what's it called, White Tigress.
Okay. I see what you're saying now.
What? Like, where did we go?
Like, they're running out of ideas.
Well, no. That's exact opposite, I believe.
No, there's too many ideas out there. That's the biggest issue.
It's too many, not even too many ideas.
You have to focus it.
It's just so much, and I understand the premise that they're coming from. They're not trying to overload us on all the big stories. Yes, you can make a Fantastic Four movie, X-Men movie, X-Force movie, or something like that. I get it. But the problem is that they're not going after the stuff that people want. They're going after the people. They're trying to, like, just, like, it's like an anime show. Like, you have your fillers, and that's what they're going off of. They're making the fillers way too much. Daredevil, absolutely not a filler. But, like, the Eternals, there was no need for an Eternals movie. No one was asking for that. Granted, it was their new Guardians of the Galaxy. I got it. But lightning doesn't strike twice.
No.
You know
and it went
mean?
Nowhere.
Chakow! And
It came out in 2020, and you never heard about it ever since, really.
And that's my problem. I was like, Shang-Chi, you know? Shang-Chi, I'm sorry. Dude, where's he been?
Right.
Where's he been? He was one of the greatest Marvel movies. And I get that. They're like, okay, this is an unexpected hit. Let's pull this back and not overkill it. You know what I mean? Because in the comics, he gets the power to multiply himself and make clones of himself and all this other crazy stuff. And obviously, they're not trying to do that. They're trying to bring in the stuff with Kang the Conqueror, which has been a whole big diluted problem.
He's out now. Kang's out.
No, they're going to bring Kang in. They're going to just recast him.
Yeah. I thought they were getting rid of him completely now.
No, they're just going to recast him. That's it. Which is the right decision. I mean, you already said it. Personally, me, I've said it before. I think I said it here, is that if you get your ass kicked by Ant-Man in a fist fight, bro, who are you to be a main Marvel villain? You know what I mean? Like Thanos would have, like, just blinked him out of existence.
Well, hold on. Did you hear about the whole controversy with Ant-Man about what would have happened if you went up?
The whole thing.
The other hole, and see what happened, and then expanded.
Because what happens is there's a theory out there that is the best way to beat Thanos was for Ant-Man to shrink down very, very smallly and go up Thanos's poo maker and
then expand.
Hit that little button. Look, she laughs so hard her head sank.
Yeah, this is from The Boys. Yeah. This is because what happened in The Boys.
Yeah, this is exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So he was going to suppository himself.
Yes, exactly. That's his finishing move, the suppository. So auditory suppository. auditory suppository. Oh, man. Paul Rudd, if you're watching, our apologies.
But yeah, man, most powerful character.
I heard actually they talked about that too, like on a ride or something, like when the Disney World rides. Like, he's like, talking about, like, and all those people out there that say I should go up Thanos' butt. All right? It's not really. And he, like, talks about it or something like that. But another thing I want to talk about is, like, the overall the MCU is the fact that they're not bringing out good plots. Like, the thing that made Marvel great was its stories, you know?
And it worked. It was connected. Everything connected to itself.
Everything was connected. And that's the thing about Phase 1. And you can say the woke stuff and blah, blah, blah. I'm not anti-woke, all right? And one thing I want to say is that when it comes down to, like, this whole woke movement and everything like that, yes, it's awesome. Have representation. But there should be representation by creation, not representation by skewing things. This is the most controversial thing I'll ever say on this podcast. If you're a person of African American or Black descent, and you're not getting pissed off that they're taking redheaded characters and turning them black, you're missing a really, really mean joke that they're throwing at you. Because if you take the word ginger and you mix around a couple of letters, you're going to come up with a different word.
Whoa.
Yeah. No one has caught on to this yet, and I don't know why. And I get mad at that. I really
actually. I never thought of that. Yeah. Never thought of that.
Yeah. No one ever. I say it to people, and they go, oh. I was like, yeah. So all the people that are writing this stuff, maybe
we're on to you.
I'm kind of catching on to it, so please stop, okay? You're a jerk, all right? Because, yeah, take the word ginger, and you rearrange the letters, you come up with a very bad word.
That's
Yeah. And they're literally taking, like, redheaded characters and making them black, and I'm like, dude. Like, bad taste.
Yep.
So.
And there's enough great African-American black heroes in Marvel.
Yes.
DC.
DCU.
DCU.
Yeah.
There's plenty of characters that you can use. You don't need to start taking other characters and just turning them around. And
exactly.
Them and molding them into what you want.
I'm sorry. I watched the Marvels. I watched Ms. Marvel, the TV show. And the one thing that absolutely pissed me off the most was that they changed her powers. Because, I mean, if they're going to make her a mutant and blah, 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 okay. And we're going to get rid of the whole Inhuman thing because that failed. And I think that was represented by Black Bolt dying in Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That makes sense because, people want to see the X-Men. And for a while, people may not know this, but in the comics, the Inhumans and the mutants got into a very bad situation. What happened was that the humans are created by something called the Terrigen Mist. And it's from crystals. And what happened was that it turns you into like it infects you and either it kills you or turns you into your inhuman form, which is, it gives you powers or whatever may come from that. So what happened was that it was actually like killing or taking away mutants' powers permanently. So what happened was behind the scenes, Marvel didn't have the, what's it called, rights, and they used the Inhumans. So the comics were like, oh, so they're going to sit there and screw that. We'll just follow suit and we'll get rid of the mutants and we'll wipe them out almost completely and make the Inhumans the new mutants. And they were the persecutions of the normal people and stuff like that. So that was a thing. But now the right switched over and they went,
Let's retcon some of that.
Yeah, we're like, oh, that actually happened? Oh, we did. Ooh.
Yeah, we don't know about that. Whoops.
Ooh.
Whoops. Sorry about that.
Yeah, mutants are cool again. And coming back, I think it was Jean Grey. Came back as an egg and gave like, because it was only like for a while, like a certain hundred amount of mutants that had their powers left on the
world.
How
many things did you turn into? Just Phoenix, now an egg?
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. The Phoenix turned her back into an egg.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that was absolutely crazy. But yeah, it's CGI also in Marvel. Like, I'm sorry, but the Marvels, I feel like they're just pumping stuff out, and I feel like it's Disney. Bro, you have so much power in this community where it's like, I need something done. Don't rush it. But at the same time, again, I don't know computer graphics and everything. I'm not an expert. I'm not telling people how to do their job. But at what point do you sit there and have a subpar project done by Disney? You know, like, bro, you've made animated movies. Like, just do that,
right?
You know, like your people are the most paid, trained, skilled people in the world. Big, I appreciate all the work that these people do and the knowledge that they have. But there's no excuse for the stuff that they have out there.
And I don't want to segue too much into it, but Dune 2, Sword this weekend, the graphics were fantastic. I couldn't imagine the CGI being any better. Everything just felt like it actually was existing in that world. Like, I believe that the spice mining vehicles, whatever the heck they're called,
were real.
Really there. Yeah. I thought those worms were going to actually eat me alive. I was like, this is beautiful.
So
this is amazing.
Timothy Chalamet.
I've been a very, very bad host. I did not get a chance to see Dune this weekend because I was extremely busy. So I apologize. I was wrestling this weekend, and then Sunday I just didn't. I had to spend time with the wife. We had a great time, but what's it called? It was just really like a hectic weekend for me, so I didn't get a chance to watch it. I'm going to watch it tonight. And also, our second part of the show, we were going to talk about escape rooms, but unfortunately, I don't know if we should do it now because Mandy's not here. And Mandy's normally, well, I've done a lot of escape room with Mandy. I know you haven't done any. I know you've done.
Maybe save it for next episode.
Yeah, I know. I feel like we're just going to talk about other stuff, so we'll just pan that. We'll just put that right in the back pocket. We're putting the back pocket right
there
here.
You go.
And then we're going to sit on it.
So our other sponsor, we're going to talk about it really quick, HAWA just had a beautiful show a week and a half ago up in Springfield, Massachusetts. Great time. Great, what's it called? I can actually show footage of that because, you know, people, you know, just ding, little photo of the show. What's it called? We're going to have a, I don't have their ad yet, but I'm going to make it. So April 12th, I believe. Let me just double check because I want to make sure I got my dates right because I have a lot of things happening. Yes. April 12th, Springfield, Massachusetts. AJW returns, and here is the ad.
WW Jagua Lucha Libre presenta temporada número 43 y será el 24 de febrero del 2024 a las 7 de la noche. Sí, señores, como lo dije, 24 de febrero del 2024 a las 7 de la noche en Forest Park Middle School, 46 Oakland Street, Springfield, Massachusetts. Recuerden que niños menores de 12 años entran gratis, acompañados de un adulto responsable. Será para la historia y tú tienes que estar ahí. Recuerda que es la temporada número 43 en Forest Park Middle School, 46 Oakland Street, Springfield, Massachusetts. Presenta Jagua Lucha Libre.
And we're back.
And we're back.
So yeah. Now, the next part I want to talk about is that MCU, since we have like about 14 minutes left, we have plenty of time to do whatever we want. I want to talk about, this is where I feel, I've said this before, whenever you present a product to somebody, whenever you present an entertainment facet, you know, it gets harder by 50%, I believe, with each sequel that you make. Each thing you make, it just gets harder and harder and harder and harder, right? So the thing is, you don't want to show the wires, like in a magician's trick, right? You don't want to see the things you're not supposed to see, because then you go, oh, okay.
I know how he did it.
Not even just that. Yeah, yes, exactly. That I didn't see. I see it now. I didn't see that before. You ruin the illusion for people, because they're buying into everything. The suspense is
It becomes predictable.
Not even predictable. It's discontinued. Because now you go, this is a show I'm watching. This is an act. This isn't real. But when you're watching something like Iron Man 1, all the way down to the Avengers, no one questioning jack shit. I think the first fracture was Age of Ultron.
I agree. Yeah. 100%.
Age of Ultron was the first thing that people went, you know what? All right, that wasn't as good as they normally did. Mm-hmm. And that kind of just, like, you saw a wire, you know? And people started kind of going, oh, you know, Age of Ultron. It started that conversation. Now we're at post-Endgame. And everything up to Endgame, I'm sorry. I loved everything. Captain Marvel, great origin story. You don't have to go by the books with everything, obviously. But I feel like they're downgrading the experience and they're counting on the past, what, like almost 15 years.
Right.
Well, actually over 15 years, 16 years now of experiences that people felt in the movie theaters. And at some point, you're going to have to not reinvent the wheel, but you're going to have to re-pull people in. And
well, the Marvels tried doing that. I don't know if you saw one of the adverts they had.
Yeah.
They actually were showing shots of like Captain America and previous Avengers. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
They're not in this movie at
all.
Why are we doing this? Is that what we have to go for? We have to go for a nostalgia stake in order to get people to watch this movie? Is that what they have to do now?
Now
that's what I'm afraid of.
Exactly. And it's not even that. It's just the experiences. Like I said before, I just wanted to bring this into its own topic, was the TV shows. The one thing I loved about Secret Invasion was it was the surprise of what the F is happening right now. You had no clue. Like, it was a big whodunit, who to trust, big thing, you know? Like, it was like, is this person a Skrull? Is that person a Skrull? They took out the main asset that brought people in, and I think Secret Invasion should have been a movie. Because when you watch certain things as a movie, you're in the audience. You're watching something on the screen projected for you, and I think that gives an overall better experience for people, you know? I think people interpret that better than a TV show. It could have been good on its own. A lot of people don't know about Secret Invasion. It's a great story. Basically, the Skrulls come down. They kidnap a whole bunch of superheroes from, like, years ago, and they turn them, and they basically had things where Wolverine couldn't even tell it was them. They had, like, new technology added to their biological DNA that can sit there and mask them completely from, like, psionic probes and everything. So they wrote it that way so that, you know, this way they just can't be like, oh, yeah, Wolverine, go find him. That's Skrull. That's Jean. That's Scott. You know,
right.
That's Marrow. You know, like, it was a thing. So in the comics, when they brought out Echo, the TV show, I'm like, oh, crap, they're going to bring in Echo. So Echo's going to kill Elektra, and then Elektra turns into a Skrull. Absolutely didn't happen.
Yep.
that I was like, even I found this out and it really hurt my soul when they said that the person who was making Secret Invasion was told do not read the comics. And I was like,
why?
Come on. Really? Secret Invasion was at such a great, like, it just building, invasion, like, who to trust, who, it was, it's a psychological thriller.
Well, maybe that's the biggest problem. They're not reading the source material, and they're just trying to do their own thing. And that's why we're losing the plot.
And that's why I'm hearing all these like, people, what the heck is going on and here? They gave, what's her name from Game of Thrones? They gave,
Emilia Clarke every single power known to man.
I was like,
what the heck was this?
Why is this a thing right now?
Isn't she like the most powerful being now on the planet? Wouldn't she be? And you don't know anything about her. She was just talked about in Secret Invasion, yeah. And that's it.
I'm like, so now, literally, any problem, she has the powers of Captain Marvel, which are like, yeah.
But I think some of the spinoffs are cool. Like Black Widow, I thought was awesome.
Black Widow was a good movie. I don't give a damn who says it was bad. It was a great movie.
I really enjoyed it.
But the only thing is it had what I like to call sequelitis.
I was gonna say, but was it really necessary?
Sequelitis. It gave her flowers. Here's your
swan song. Your swan song.
Exactly. And they do have a couple characters coming back. Red Guardian's going to come back in Thunderbolts, which I really can't wait to see. But the thing that really got me aggravated was when you had things that just didn't go. I'm not a purist. Like I'm not like you have to go to the comic source material. But those are great stories.
Right.
And you made your own story. I get it. If you want to make your own story, that's great. Awesome. But at the same time, you didn't need to butcher the original story.
Because right. It was originated in the comics, and we were thrilled as kids with those comics.
I mean, kids, like, there's some stuff I read as an adult I still read, you know, and, Secret Invasion was a great story, and I think that could have carried over into the other shows. Like, I'm sorry, War Machine. He's going to be in Armor Wars.
Right.
I 100% think Armor Wars is going to happen around White Vision.
Okay.
And that's why I don't think Wanda's really dead. I think she's dead.
She's dead. She said she's dead.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they said that she's dead.
Well, you know what that means, right? Parallel Wanda from the different world. No, because...
But they're never really dead.
They're never really gone.
I want to get this put on a shirt.
Never really gone.
It's like Godzilla.
I want to put this on a shirt where it says... comic book heroes never die, they just run out of ink.
It's true.
And it's true because everybody comes back. Mm-hmm. Psylocke died, they made her into a Japanese assassin, you know, blah, 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 Betty Maddox. There was just so many things about, like, the plots. They were just moving around, shifting. And again, it didn't need to happen. They were swapping powers, the CGI. And again, the experience of sitting down looking at something in a movie theater, I think would have made these a little bit better. Could you have saturated the market with these movies? Absolutely. I don't think anybody was really going to complain. But at the same time, it's like you don't need to make everything into a TV show. They could have been way less TV shows. They're all 6 episodes. It's Disney Plus. It's your thing. You have Marvel Studios. Just keep bumping them out in order right next to each other if you want. Fine. But don't spread them apart like 5 months where it's like, what's happening now?
But Disney's doing that with all their properties. Look at Star Wars. Same thing. They have all these different TV shows.
Star Wars is completely different.
Although Mandalorian was fantastic.
Exactly. Because they had to make Mandalorian to make up for the last 3 movies. That's what it is.
Yeah. And a lot of those TV shows that they've been making, not the best, except for Andor. I loved Andor. I love Andor. I can't wait for Andor season 2.
I completely stopped myself. I've noticed I do this when I rewatch these. Sequelitis. Sequelitis is when they make, what's it called? Let me phrase this. Prequelitis. Prequelitis is when they take something and they go backwards to tell a different story, which I appreciate. But when you have an action movie, it's hard for me to believe that this is something I should be invested in because down the road, I know the character that survives.
Yeah, and you know that Andor's dead. Oh, sorry, spoiler.
Spoiler night.
He got blown up by the Death Star.
Watch this, watch this. Want to see something funny? Watch this, ready?
Death Star.
Watch this. Spoiler alert. You'll see that one in post-production. It's going to be cool. But the whole thing is that, like, again, when you have lazy writing, it's going to create a bad story. And I don't care because I don't care who watches it. If you're bad at telling a story and you just rely on certain tropes, like we'll tell the story of when he was a child. Okay, that worked great for Anakin, but that was already a plan because episode 4 came out. And then you're like, wait,
What happened to 1, 2, and 3?
Exactly. That was a great thing. Right. And I knew he was going to survive, but I wanted to know how he got to that point, how he was such a drastic person. Now, that works sometimes where a character's like a mobster or a hitman or
turned him into what he is today.
Exactly.
Or what he is
but now. When you have a character that's already fully developed and it's just them on a different thing but earlier,
right.
That means to tell me you had no plan what's going on. You're like, all right, that's stuck. Make a prequel.
But I think that's the whole problem with Disney Star Wars. There is no plan.
Yeah.
They just keep bouncing around seeing, let's just throw something at the wall, hope for something to stick, and then we'll work with that angle.
And with that,
just like Mandalorian.
I also feel that Kevin Feige is also kind of like, he had more, I'm not going to say more power, but I feel like Kevin Feige was the guy that everyone could have gone to and went, hey, listen, we're going to stop all this nonsense and we're going to do it like this. This is a storyboard. You're coming on as director for this movie. You come talk to me. You want it? You're going to do this TV show. You come talk to me. You two are going to work together and then do this. And you two are going to work together and you three are going to work together. You're going to come out first, second, third. And I just feel like Multiverse of Madness, one movie. It was a horror movie. Sam Raimi did his own thing. What's it called? What was the other one? The Spider-Man movies. Great movies. 100%. But the only problem was that I feel like they just, they were their own thing, which was really, really cool.
At least they're not the Sony movies.
Exactly. And like they were multiverse movies at the end.
Right.
And one thing about Spider-Man, what's it called? What was the second
No
one?
Way Home? No, that's Far From Home.
Far From Home, yeah.
Far From Home,
Far From Home is when they talk. When Quentin Beck talks about Universe 616. Why wasn't that ever talked about?
Yeah.
Because they literally, Marvel Universe in the comics is Universe 616. It, I don't know the numerical importance of it, but at the same time, it's also, hey, this is what they're designated. This is the main Marvel continuity. And there are other so many universes out there that have their own designation, and I feel like they kept it true. But why did we talk about that? And that's where I felt like, oh, he said 616.
Yeah.
That's the Marvel universe.
Yep.
This is the keynote, Prime Earth. But for some odd reason, that was never talked about.
Ever again.
Yeah.
It was like gone.
Yeah, absolutely annoyed me. So...
If I can bring up one prequel, if I can take us away from MCU for 1 second,
go ahead.
And bring us to a prequel that I thought was absolutely fabulous, and it's actually about a horror story. I don't know if anybody's watched Bates Motel on Netflix, the prequel from
Psycho.
Psycho. Thank you so much.
That we can't remember names, so that's what we're all here for.
We have each other's backs.
That movie, the one with the stabbing action.
You know.
The one with the stabbing action.
But I have to say that I'm not always a big fan of prequels. Like, they've done a lot of prequel shows. They did one on Batman. They did one.
Gotham.
They did.
Gotham was good.
They did one on, like, Superman. But I thought Bates Motel was a fabulous prequel.
I watched a little bit of it. That was the guy that's... what is he from also? He's in something else. I can't
remember. Isn't he the doctor?
The Good Doctor.
The Good Doctor.
Yeah, he's in that. Yeah, and he did. I think that's his younger brother, him. I don't know if it's the same guy.
Oh, I thought it was the same guy.
I thought so too, but I think I looked into it. I was like, oh, wait, I don't think that's really him. That's like the younger brother or something like that.
Oh, then I was
wrong. He has like a little brother. It could be. Sorry. but yeah, that's always been a good show. I like certain things like that. Like, there's certain things I would love to see. Like, this is something I also wanted to talk about, but we'll bring it next time, but we'll bring it up today. Nothing about movies. We'll move away from the Marvel stuff. Prequels that I would like to see. I'm going to name three, and I want you guys to name three as well. Okay. These are the movies that I would like to see a prequel where they tell the story of someone who is a very known character, something, not even just a known character, but something that just absolutely great story. One, Beetlejuice.
I can't wait for Beetlejuice, too.
Good call. We'll talk about that next time. I know we're supposed to talk about movies.
I can't wait.
Two, I would love... beyond words, to see a movie about a very good character growing up, how he lived. Ladies and gentlemen, Pee Wee Herman.
Yes!
Imagine a young R.I.P. Pee Wee.
I think you really are R.I.P.,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Am I right this time? You're right. That person's dead.
I feel like Pee Wee's Big Adventure was good enough for that one.
But imagine how he became Pee Wee as a child growing up into Pee Wee.
But he never grew up. That's the whole thing.
Exactly.
I loved him. Exactly. I lived on him. Him and Mr. Rogers. Actually, that would be a good one, too. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Thanks. All right.
Did I just spoil your third one?
Yeah, you did.
Nice.
Mr. Rogers, I would love to see a prequel of a young Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
I make it for kids. You don't have to go anything crazy. Yeah. You know what I mean? So give me three movies that you would like to see have a prequel.
The only thing that I would like to see for a prequel is, honestly, I want to see Knights of the Old Republic. Just do it. We have the game. We can make it into a great film. That could be what saves Disney Star Wars. Just get it done. Another prequel that I would love to see would probably be, let's do a movie about, because we really never talked to, You put me on the spot here. Because I was just going to say Knights of the Old Republic was my main one.
Yeah. And it could be anything. It doesn't have to be Star Wars. It doesn't have to be anything.
Oh my gosh. This is terrible. Yeah, I'm just going to stick with that for now. If okay, I come cool. up with something else, I'll
So I'm a really big like Disney fan.
Okay.
And I think some Disney prequels would be pretty cool.
I'm done with Disney prequels.
Like Cinderella, for instance. It starts, we don't really know like how she was born or raised or who her parents are, or we just.
That's a good story. Yeah. I like that.
That, like, I think, you know, like that would be a good one. I think.
Hard question, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually not, a really hard question.
It's not that simple.
It's not that simple.
There's a lot of movies out there I would love to see redone.
Like Mars Attacks, for instance. Like, I think that would be a good one because it goes into right into the story, but we don't really know how, like, the aliens, like, got there and, like...
Well, they flew there in ships because they're
aliens. They flew there in ships, but what from about, Mars. Like... From Mars. Well, let's go to Mars.
Oh my God. That would be great. A whole entire movie.
But then preparing to come to Earth. I think that would be.
You hit something big. What is it?
John Wick.
Ooh.
That would be a good one.
Oh, that is gold. Like, literally have his wife, the whole thing.
Have
a young
before,
John Wick.
Before he met his wife, how he lived his life and stuff. Then how he met the wife and how he had to do that thing to get out of the lifestyle.
Yeah. One movie that I would always love to see is a prequel. I mean, it's kind of dated now. It's really hard, but I think everyone called for it at the time when it was talked about. Just simply call it Budapest.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah. I can live with that. I would just love to see that. It could be a TV show. Make it Budapest.
Yeah.
Bring in Scarlett Johansson and freaking Mr. Ratner.
Yeah.
The Plow King.
That'd be perfect so you can see what actually happened there.
Yeah. Yeah.
AKA Ronan now.
Yeah. So I would love to see that.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've done this because they've done so many King Kongs, and I love the King Kongs.
They did the past couple of Kongs really
kind of.
But
do they have like a prequel of like Kong is like.
Yeah, they did. The first one, Skull Island.
That was the one with Jack Black, right?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yeah, that was Jack Black. There was a whole bunch that came out around that time, too. No, that wasn't Skull Island. Skull Island's the one with John C. Reilly, Samuel Jackson.
And Loki.
And
the blonde.
Yeah, the blonde chick.
I remember her name?
We're so good with names.
Why would I remember her name?
Why? It's not like it's in the movie, like, at the end of it.
She's really famous!
Wait, wasn't it Captain Larson. Marvel?
Brie Larson, there you go. I couldn't think of it
it's
for
Brie
a second.
Brie Larson, yeah.
Yeah. But, like, those are, there's, like I said, there's certain prequels I would love to see how a character got somewhere.
Right.
Beetlejuice, how he dies and becomes evil. Imagine he's, like, a good guy or something.
That would
like
be
that.
The best prequel, I think. I would vote. I vote.
I know we're running out of time, but real quick, do you want to mention some sequels? Because we have a lot coming out. We got Ghostbusters in just 2 weeks. 3 weeks. 3 weeks. We got Ghostbusters.
So, no, actually, you know what? Because we were supposed to talk about this. We got a little bit of time. The whole issue with Sunday. Tell us why you couldn't watch the movie.
Well, it's not. It's kind of. That's a little bit private. Sorry, but
I feel like this is juicy.
As per usual, you know, we have the St. Patrick's Day event going on Staten Island.
If you haven't watched the news, yes, the Staten Island Patrick Parade is always a week or two before the actual St. Patrick's Day.
It's the first Sunday of the month. Yes, apparently,
first Sunday of the month.
Is apparently what I was told. Yeah. That's how it runs.
Yes,
and I was planning on watching my AEW Revolution.
Yes,
but unfortunately, people lost their girlfriends. They couldn't get in contact with them. So then we were just, like, on the phone trying to find who had who and all that stuff. Because if you haven't gone down to the parade, I highly recommend it if you're under 27 and over 21. But when you get to a certain age, you're a little too old for the parade.
Drinking all day long. I'll put it to you guys like this. The St. Patrick's Day Parade is a bunch of green animals going around bar to bar, getting drunk, fighting with each other, walking up on people's yards, looking through their ring camera going, excuse me, can I use your bathroom?
Because there's so many people like all these other bars and I can't pee here.
People get wasted and just walk around like by that part of West Forest Avenue.
It's a whole thing.
It is a
people just walk
zoo.
Up and down yeah. to different bars.
Yes, and
the
it's,
whole day.
It's like watching a like National Geographic human special
because it just turns into a crapshoot.
Yeah. The male Staten Islander shows his feathers in trying to coax another drunken female, another bigger man with tattoos of a tribal band of some sort of group he belongs yeah. to, comes down and swoops his woman.
And guess what, Staten Island, you can do it again on March 16th. We're having another. We're having another parade, kind
exactly.
of. We're having
sort
leprechaun.
Of
leprechaun.
Yeah. Leprechaun is where people are going to dress up like leprechauns, and most of Staten Island's a bunch of short people anyway. So it's
I take offense to that.
You take example of that.
5 1 3/4. The 3/4 counts.
The tallest of all the midgets.
The midget of the world.
You shall bend to my rule. I shall bend to my rule. But yeah, so I just wanted to bring up that little story because we talked about it in the beginning. So yeah, Staten Island gets very, very drunk in the Isles of March. It's a good time. Honestly, I love the parade. I like going down there sometimes. But I mean, I'm old enough now where I'm like, I don't even drink. Like I don't think I ever put this up, but I've never drank or smoked a day in my life. So the whole thing is when you get that inebriated around Forest Avenue, it becomes a chaos. Oh. But hope, thank God, no one got hurt. No, that's actually a really good miracle that happens. Yeah. People take care of each other. Everyone's Irish on St. Patrick's
yep.
Day. And on that day, everyone is Irish and obliterated. So it's so like the warm-up, you know? We just can't get drunk on one day alone. What are you kidding
exactly.
me? Hey, Staten Island over here. What's right?
Yeah, you still have the actual St. Patrick's Day. Yeah. And now we have Leprechaun. Yeah. So we'll see yeah. how that goes.
Yeah.
We'll see how it starts. I think at Hop Shop right over here it starts. Yeah.
I actually like the Hop Shop.
Side note, we forgot to totally bring this up because we got lost in conversation. We talk about the Beer Olympics.
Which
Beer
was
Olympics?
Really fun.
It was awesome. Yeah.
It was awesome. It was awesome. Great turnout. I'm going to put up a couple videos. I don't care. I'm
wait,
right
send
now.
Me the videos, by the way, guys. I don't think I have any.
I got a ton of videos. I
put a lot of work in that room, and I don't even have a single picture of what
the
room looks like.
Fantastic job. Hats off to you.
A lot of good stuff there. Yeah. You're going to see it.
So the next one's going to be the Summer Olympics.
Yep.
Coming up in, we're going to look like July, sometime in July.
Yep, July. Same place?
No, it's going to be at my house.
It's going to be at his house, so it's a private event.
Yeah.
We should do that, actually. We should do it outside, rent a place, make it to a thing. That's what I wanted to tell you. The Beer Olympics. All right, listen to this, okay? Different parts of Staten Island making teams and coming together as one.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
How great would that be?
It's giving me a
Tonville
headache.
Versus Springville.
It's giving me a headache already
right West now. Brighton versus Eltingville. Annadale versus like Stapleton or something.
Get
like
really
that.
Intense though.
Bro, it'd be fun. Guys come out with their own little teams. You have to make your own little banner and everything like that. I think it'd be great. We could have like a big march around the building.
I want to see Average Joe show up.
Exactly. That'd be great. Well, it's that time, everybody. We are done.
Thank you again for another great show.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in. Remember, follow us on all the socials, Nerd Badge Podcast. Show up the good stuff. Show up the good stuff.
Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Quinn, RJ Soto, Susie Zeiser, we did it. We did it!
We did it!
Episode 4! Yes! Yes, I did another one! Score! Done! Wrap! It's a wrap!